I'm here to present on the concept of practice-based teaching, and I just want to take a minute to recognize collaborators in this effort, because while I'm faculty at BU and I'm the one in the classroom with the students, practice-based teaching wouldn't be possible without collaboration from agencies. So the individuals listed here represent both the teaching team and also collaboration from the agency, and one of the collaborators, the main collaborator, Liam Day, is also here, and so I'm sure during the question and answer we'll be happy to answer some questions from the perspective of the collaborating agency. And I have nothing to disclose. The learning objectives for today are really to talk through practice-based teaching, the benefits to the three key stakeholders who engage in practice-based teaching, why we should try to do practice-based teaching in the classroom and in schools of public health, even though it is a lot more time and effort from all stakeholders. And then I thought I'd describe a bit about the process of how we started practice-based teaching for a particular course at the BU School of Public Health, and how we can both address technical competencies required by students in the course, but also professional and other types of skills that these students need when they leave the curriculum. So the course that I'm going to talk about is one of our core courses in the social and behavioral sciences curriculum. So in the SB curriculum at the School of Public Health, students first learn needs assessment, then they learn intervention planning, and then they learn evaluation. And SB 806 is one of the selectives, one of the options students can take to learn intervention planning. And in this course, students develop an intervention and then plan a communication strategy in support of that intervention using various media components. The way this course had traditionally been taught for about 4 years was using hypothetical situations to teach the competencies. So students would choose a problem statement of interest to them, they would work individually, and throughout the course they would investigate that problem statement, identify an area that they would want to change, whether it was a behavior or an environmental condition, and then they would develop the intervention and supporting communication strategy. The course over the past 2 years has been redesigned so that we can do practice-based teaching, and I'll talk a bit about why I made that decision to redesign the course. But first, I thought maybe I would talk about practice-based teaching a bit. So there are three main stakeholders in practice-based teaching. The first are the students. And so by collaborating with the community, by having students work on a project throughout the course of a semester, they really do get the technical skills required by the class. But they also get these professional skills, these workplace skills that they may not otherwise get in a classroom setting. At the BU School of Public Health, students do have to do practicum. They do take on other volunteer and job opportunities. But if we can instill some of those professional skills in the context of the classroom, why not? Why not give them some more opportunities to do that? It also really adds to their professional portfolio. I had a student this past semester who, in a job interview, was able to show what she had produced for the Boston Public Health Commission, who has been our main collaborator in this class. And she showed this potential employer what she had been working on and what she produced, and it led to a job opportunity. So it really does allow students to enhance their professional portfolio. And as was commented on in the previous presentation, the student population is younger and younger and maybe doesn't have as robust a professional portfolio as they did 5-10 years ago in schools of public health. The second key stakeholder in this type of teaching is the agency themselves. Agencies are understaffed, don't have a lot of time sometimes to investigate in further detail problem statements that they might otherwise want to investigate. And so by collaborating with the classroom, it really allows the collaborating agency access to high quality deliverables. These students spend the 15-week semester working on deliverables where there's substantial oversight from faculty, from myself. They go through many revisions before sharing the deliverables with the agency. So now the agency is armed with some high quality deliverables that address the problem statement they had presented to the students at the beginning of the semester. It does allow for more collaboration between the agency and the institution, and essentially we're training public health students to go into the community and serve the communities in which they work. But these are also the students that are learning in those communities. So if they can help develop very targeted programs for these agencies, it benefits what the agency can do, and it also allows students that connection to the community. And then for faculty, having taught this class in two different ways, I can say that it is a much enhanced level of expertise that you have to bring to this. there are, so for example, last semester there were 3 different public health problem statements that were presented to the class from Boston Public Health Commission. None of those problem statements I had much background in. I can teach the students the skills they need to address those problem statements, but the problem statements themselves are not areas of my expertise. So it really does allow faculty to develop further areas of expertise, and it mimics what they will be presented with, what we're presented with as professionals, and what students will be presented with when they go into the field. Professional development opportunities are also another huge benefit to doing this type of teaching, as well as ongoing collaborations and practice and research opportunities. And there is an overlap in how these benefits work. So for the students in the agency, it does allow for job opportunities. As a result of students engaging in this type of learning in my classes, it's resulted in volunteer opportunities, directed study opportunities, part-time jobs, which essentially eliminates the learning curve in some regards. If we can train students in the classroom and then they're ready to go right into those agencies for which they've already been working in the context of a classroom, it's really beneficial. In terms of the faculty and agency interaction, certainly enhanced collaborations, whether they're new or continuing, and I'll talk a bit about that. And then from the student and faculty perspective, it is a very intense way of teaching. And I'll show you some feedback from all the stakeholders, but it is a very beneficial way of teaching. And it does really allow for a very rich, rich learning experience. Students have said it's almost like they're in a full-time job when they're in this class. And we have several other classes at the School of Public Health that do practice-based teaching. And there are some students that take more than one practice-based teaching class in a semester. And, with their other outside responsibilities, it's a lot to take on. But what they produce in the end is very worth it. And as the backbone of this is our alumni. Alumni for us have been really beneficial in establishing these networks, these connections, and then furthering those collaborations. And then for the school overall, it really allows the school to engage in opportunities for civic responsibility and giving back to the communities in which we are educating these students, increasing reputational capital, and a lot of other benefits that I'm sure you might be able to think of for your own institutions. So the way that this collaboration happened, back in summer 2012, BU School of Public Health conducted many, many different interviews with employers that represented the multidisciplines of public health. So biostatistics, epidemiology, social behavioral sciences. And that was all in an effort to understand what employers want from these public health students when they graduate. One of those interviews, so faculty sat in on those interviews, and one of the interviews that I sat in on was with Liam Day, who is the former director of youth programs at Boston Public Health Commission. And it became very clear that we were teaching technical competencies to students, but we could be doing more in the way of professional skills. And that's really why this partnership first established, and then this kind of concept of practice-based teaching, which, again, is inherent in some of our other classes at the school in the Global Health Department and also in Health Policy and Management. So we spent the fall semester, so the class that I'm talking about is every year offered in the spring. So we spend the fall semester identifying problem statements that the students can work on. And these are problem statements where the agency says, these are areas of priority for us this coming year. This is where we need some help. This is where we need some input. And they identify the public health problem, give a little bit of background, both national and local, and then provide some suggestions of behaviors that would be changed or environmental conditions that would be changed. And we spend the fall semester working through those to make sure that the problem statements that we ultimately give to the students meet the needs of the agency, but also allow me to teach the technical competencies in the classroom. And we share all assignment deliverables and the syllabus. The first time this was offered was spring of 2013. We had one bureau involved from Boston Public Health Commission, and the way we worked it was there were 4 different public health topics being addressed by 4 groups of students. So each group of students worked on a different public health topic. It was a successful collaboration, and I'll talk a bit about that. And so we went through that same cycle this past year. The difference is this past spring in 2014, the collaboration extended. So now we had 3 bureaus within the Boston Public Health Commission collaborating. And we did it a little differently, where we had 3 public health topics, but 6 groups. So each group, or each topic had 2 groups working on it. And at first we had set that up to kind of integrate some competitive nature into the classroom. But actually what ended up happening was the students did a very thorough literature review. All three topics, the student groups presented very different perspectives, very different solutions. So as an example, a topic was in Boston, reducing chlamydia in high-risk youth. And so two student groups were given that topic. One student group, based on their research, decided to propose a solution from the perspective of providers. Another student group decided to do it from the youth themselves. So now the agency has two different public health programs that they could potentially implement addressing the same problem. So the way the class is structured is groups are comprised in about three or four students, and the way those groups are developed, and this is important because it gets to the feedback that we've received, but the way those groups are developed are with some eye to multidisciplinary. So as I said, this class is one of the selectives in this social behavioral curriculum. We have a lot of students that dual concentrate. Some dual concentrate in maternal child health and social behavioral sciences, some in EPI social behavioral sciences. So I like to try to make the teams multidisciplinary. If there are other perspectives that are represented in the class, I try to put those students together. That's the field of public health. And also an interest in a topic area. So students receive the problem statements before the semester begins, and they rank the problem statement, they from 1 to 3, the problem statements they would want to work on. And I try to give them first choice, but really my main priority is those multidisciplinary groups. They start with this problem statement, and then they do a very, very thorough literature review on the problem statement and on this identified behavior or environmental condition that the agency is interested in addressing. And this literature review is 25, 30 pages and done it from the perspective of all levels of the social ecological model. And really the point is that students accumulate a wealth of knowledge and evidence about what has been done in the past to address that problem and what's worked and what hasn't. They then develop an intervention to propose to the agency to address the problem statement and create a communication plan in support of that intervention. When the students are thinking through the different interventions, they meet with the agency throughout the semester. So there's one meeting in particular where the students sit down with the agency and they pitch three ideas. They say, this is the problem statement you gave me. This is what I found in the literature. These are three options I think you have. And they have to base that in evidence and theory and some innovation. And then the agency has the opportunity to say, I like this one. This seems to fit with the goals of our agency. Or I actually, none of these will work well. I was thinking more along these lines. And the students on the spot have to be able to defend why they've proposed those three, but also have to be flexible in accepting that feedback from the agency and maybe going down a different path. So the students meet with the agency about four times over the course of the semester. And then have access to their clients within the context of the semester at various points by email or telephone. Because group work is such a large part of the way this class is developed, there are group work assessments that we do throughout the semester, so students rate themselves, and then they rate the quality of collaboration of their group mates. And those group assessments factor into their grades. So even though these are group projects, students receive a very individualized grade. For example, when they write their social ecological model, their literature review, students have to indicate which level of the model they've taken ownership of. So each level gets a different grade. So while this is ultimately a group effort and the product they pitch to the agency is a group product, that's what the agency sees. They're very responsible for individual grades on the back end. I'm going to talk a bit about the skill building activities that we do, and then the class culminates with a presentation to the client and a question answer period. So the skill building activities, and this has taken some time to develop, but at the core, so the central circle, these are the technical skills that are required by the competencies of the course that I'm teaching. How do you develop objectives? How do you plan an intervention? What is a logic model useful for? How do you develop it? How does that guide your evaluation of programs? And then media pieces. And the media pieces for this class are the most interesting. So students have to produce 5 media pieces: letter to the editor, pitch letter, infographic, various media pieces that would support their intervention. But based on the problem statement they've received, they also have kind of 2 freebies, and they can produce media pieces that speak to the problem they've been presented. So those chlamydia groups, for example, the chlamydia group that decided to focus on providers, they produced a 20-slide PowerPoint presentation that providers would receive in a training. The student group that focused on youth actually developed a mobile health app where students would receive text messages, they could respond, they could figure out locations of chlamydia testing clinics. And so their media pieces are very different based on what they what they've been presented with and the path they've decided to go down. On the outer circle are the more of the professional skills that weren't well addressed in this course before we switched to practice-based teaching. How do you consult with a client? How do you listen to their needs and meet them in the middle? How do you work in a team? At what point do you have leadership versus kind of taking a back seat and letting someone else lead the team? Literature reviews. They have to do a very, very in-depth literature review. Writing and peer review, so students write sections of their paper and then they switch the papers. And their peers go through a peer review process where they have to fill out a two-page form about the effectiveness of the writing, and then they have to actually do line edits to track changes to their peers' paper. So they learn how to get constructive feedback, and this is all also in an effort to produce those high-quality deliverables that the agency ultimately receives. And then presentations, and they have multiple opportunities throughout the semester to present. So this past year, we did an independent evaluation of the class. There was someone from the BU School of Education who I worked with to devise the evaluation strategy, but then she conducted a pre-post test of the evaluation of this type of teaching to see whether or not it was effective. Some of the feedback I'm going to share with you is from that evaluation, and other, for example, the student feedback is from your typical student course evaluation. So overwhelmingly, students report that it is much more time intensive to take a class with practice-based teaching, but that at the end of the day, the products they produce are well worth it. It makes the stakes higher, the interactions of teamwork become more challenging, but they do recognize that that is something that they will encounter in the workplace. So this is just some of the feedback that we received from the students. The feedback from the collaborating agency, this feedback does come from the evaluation that we just conducted. The agency very highly values the literature review that students develop. That is a very, as you know, probably a very time-intensive process that agencies oftentimes don't have the staff to dedicate resources to do an intensive literature review. So the students really showing the agency all the evidence base for what the agency is doing and planning is very important. The agency also very highly valued the perspective the students brought to the problem statements, the creativity that they had in addressing the problem statements, and then the quality of the deliverables themselves, whether they were the written papers in terms of the intervention plan or the media components, so the infographics, which are online, or the mHealth application. What was questioned, though, is the utility of the deliverables. With regard to the agency presents the problem statement at the beginning of the semester, but doesn't present, historically hasn't presented, a budgetary requirement for the students or a lot about the structure of the agency. So the utility of the deliverables was questioned a bit, although the agency did report being able to use some aspects of the deliverables in ongoing programs, and then now having an idea of where they might go in the future to secure additional funding or do something additional. But overall, the agency was very satisfied with the collaboration, and were interested in extending that collaboration in other semesters and to other colleagues. So some of the challenges I've already addressed, but really the ongoing challenges are that it is time intensive for all stakeholders. Scheduling that time for in-class consultations between the agency and the students and myself and the agency or myself and the students can be pretty time restrictive. Making sure that problem statements that meet the needs of the agency but also speak to what the class is supposed to teach can be a challenge. Overall, the biggest challenge has really been on group dynamics and the emphasis on group work. And the suggestion has been made to make the class a little more individualized such that each student works on their own problem statement. I'm still debating that. I would be open to your feedback, but I almost feel that they are not going to be working as just individuals in the field of public health. They are going to be forced into groups. And so why not just force them early on in the context of the classroom? So this resulted from the evaluation that we did. These are some of the lessons learned and recommendations, and they kind of are in three bucket areas: student-centered, instructor or course-centered, and collaboration-centered. Just very briefly, the student-centered really recommendations were really, again, about if individualized work is not going to be implemented, perhaps building skills in group work areas. conflict resolution and other skills that maybe early on in the semester they can get to know their team a bit better and work through some issues early on that they might experience later in the semester. And the instructor-centered was the way the course is taught, a lot of the information has to be given up front. It's a pretty heavy load at the first third of the semester so that the students have the flexibility and the knowledge to move through the rest of the semester and address the problem statement. The students did feel that first third was a pretty heavy load, so that's something that I'll definitely revisit. And then for the collaboration-centered, it comes back to the utility of the deliverables. While the agencies value the deliverables, the utility of them was questioned. And so how can we create avenues and pathways so that the agencies can more easily apply and use some of the deliverables that the students create? This style of teaching I've started to implement in other classes within the social and behavioral sciences curriculum. I also teach in the epidemiology department, and I'm very interested in trying practice-based teaching within EPI, so we'll see how that goes. It really does have the ability to, although it is time-intensive, it does have the ability to impact many areas, to really engage the classroom with the community, can result in some pretty amazing deliverables. So just in conclusion, it is a lot of work. But at the end of the day, all of the stakeholders really have benefited and do report benefiting from this style of teaching.